pizza community property. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. That's what we should do. If any, and not that this has happened, but at any point we feel frustrated or we feel, you know, annoyed, irritated. You, if at any point in the future we should come here to work at CBS Radio Portland and feel that maybe we don't, not fully appreciative of our jobs and our you know, our show here, we should just think back to some of those people we've left behind at some of the other companies. We're still there, greasily pawing through food that's not theirs. Leaving big, sticky handprints all over things. Did you ever go to pick up that mouse that was in the old intercom, when you were on Max? You go to pick up that mouse that was on the community printer, and it was just, it was like a bar.
A mouse as in a rodent?
No, a mouse is in the computer mouse, and it was so greasy, it would just squirt out of your hand like a bar of shower soap.
We don't want to think about such things.
No, you
don't talk about
it. No, but now you will. In just a moment, we begin the AM 970 New News Hour. This is Mike. Hello, Mike. Why, hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I didn't hear my name. This is Mike from Camby.
Okay.
Hey. Giuliani. Giuliani's not going to have such a hard time overcoming his negatives with the Christian vote as you think he is. There's a standard Christian playbook that will be definitely played, and he will overcome.
Now, are you saying this as a Christian or as somebody who is observing this proceeding from an objective?
As a Christian and somebody who's a political fanatic. So.
Okay.
But he's always got the number one play, and that's the godless Democrats.
Well, no, his number one play is just, he's the same as George W. Bush's, which is just to say the phrase 9/11 as often as humanly possible.
That's number two, wrapping yourself in the flag and showing him as much as possible standing on the rubble of the World Trade Center.
Yes, yes.
But he's also got the forgive and forget, let thee cast the first stone. You know, I've sinned, but we've all sinned.
Oddly, that only applies to Republicans somehow.
And the other one is Christian women are just infatuated with a strong male figure.
No, it's true. That is true. He's really, really, and it's not even just Christian, really conservative women, but specifically white Christian women. You're right. They really want a guy who just holds them with one hand and just whacks them with the other. I don't know what that is, man, but you're totally right about that. And Giuliani does look like he'd give you a good whacking. I will say that.
Right. But using any of those, you know, four, you know, or any combination, he's going to go a long way overcoming his negatives. And most people are going to hate Hillary.
Yeah, but he'll never win.
Yes, he will.
All right.
Would you like to make a wager on that?
Man, it's too, well, I don't know.
I listen to you every day, man. I'm not going anywhere. 2 years away, it's not that far.
It might be too early because we don't even know if those two are going to be running. But we could make this bet. We could make the bet that if Hillary ends up going against Giuliani, we could make that sort of a conditional bet. That presuming that Giuliani and Hillary end up being the presidential candidates.
Well, we'll have to make two bets. We'll have to make two. One, who runs for president, and then who's the winner.
Yeah, I don't even know who's going to end up running on the Republican side. I'm telling you right now, Hillary goes up against Giuliani tomorrow. She's going to clean his clock, brother.
No. All right. No way. No, we will call later, and we will make the proper wager.
All right. Thank you. I got to go. Love to stay. Got to go. That's Mike. Thank you. All right, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733, unless she dumps that husband to hers, and she's not dumb enough to do that. She knows she's got to keep him around. That Bill Clinton is the man, that guy's the political rabbit's foot. We all know that's true. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
So the Bush administration wants to draw down U.S. troops in Iraq as soon as possible, now they say. And depending on conditions on the ground, Tony Snow made the comment during his news conference today.
There are any number of scenarios that are going to play out, but as we've also said many times, you got to see what's going on the ground. So that certainly is one of the scenarios, but there are many that could play out.
Well, the Democrats are offering an alternative strategy for the war in Iraq. Speaking from Capitol Hill, Barack Obama unveiled a plan today that will begin the phased withdrawal of troops in Iraq by May 1st. That's May 1st.
Too many hard months. The American people have waited, and they've been patient with this war. We have given chance after chance for a resolution that has not come. And more importantly, watched with horror and grief the tragic loss of thousands of brave young American soldiers.
You know, the thing about... now
Barack Osama.
Stop it. See, bastard, now I'm going to start doing it.
And now I feel him over the plan.
Now I can't even remember what his real name is. As we get closer to the election, we're going to need to write his name down. And you know that they do this probably at CNN. You know that Jeff Greenfield or somebody has his name written phonetically. Because you know that every time that guy, somebody slips and calls him Barack Osama, you know that there's going to be some YouTube bastard waiting to post that. Barack Obama. The thing about that guy, I don't even remember now because I'm so focused on saying his name correctly.
Who is he again?
The thing about Barack Obama is that he sounds like a guy who, like, if he absolutely had to, would beat your ass. And that's the thing that the Democrats need. The Democrats need a guy who just, in a pinch, looks like he would just punch you right across the bridge of the nose. That's the appeal of McCain. The appeal of McCain will also be his undoing, because McCain is like your crazy uncle. McCain is totally like some nutcase grandfather you've got. Who
is this year's Howard Dean.
He really... But even more so, because Howard Dean at least had youth and vitality. McCain is just old and angry, and it's just a whole lot of... McCain is the get-off-my-lawn candidate. That ought to be his slogan, off my lawn, McCain 2008, because he's like a grandfather. Do you guys ever have a grandfather like this, where it's like... Like, he loved you, but he was really mean to you at the same time?
Yes.
You know, it was a whole lot of, how are you, Sarah? You know, I'm fine. Do you want a sandwich? You know, you're making me cry. You know, shut up. Do you want to go outside and ride the tractor with me? And that's what McCain is. He's just a crazy grandfather figure. So he's a little, he's one step too crazy. He'll implode. Barack Obama. I'm just going to have somebody else say that phrase, and then I'll hit the button whenever I need to mention him. He looks like a guy, though, who, push come to shove, would not mind taking a fireplace poker to the side of your head. And that's what the Democrats need, a guy who will, he looks like he could take some names. So there.
Well, a British newspaper has published transcripts and audio of the cockpit video from a U.S. warplane at the center of an inquest into a friendly fire incident over in Iraq. Seems like, we killed some British people.
Is this like the time we bombed all those Canadians? Remember that?
Right. Well, we moved along now. Now we're killing the British.
One country at a time.
Mm-hmm. They're our fellow allies. According to The Sun, one British soldier was killed in the incident, and the controller was heard telling the pilots... RTB, which is short for Return to Base.
Roger, we're getting an initial brief that there was one killed and one wounded. Over. Five, copy. RTB.
So the pilots were told by controllers that they were running on the friendliest.
Echo 35, this is S5, a relay message from Spinac, support, support.
So they realized they hit a convoy of British armored vehicles and said, we're in jail, dude.
Did they really say that?
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, there you go. I was to understand, look, I only know what I've seen on the TV, but aren't all the Iraqi guys that were fighting, the Afghani guys, aren't they all, I mean, aren't they all just, riding turtles and stuff at this point? There's nothing left. How could you look at a huge caravan of really high-tech motorized equipment and think, that must be the Iraqis?
Right.
I mean, how do you make that mistake? I mean, I think we found out how we killed all those, not to make light of it, but what, a couple years ago, we blew all those Canadians into little pieces, and it's because the American fighters were so hopped up, I mean, on amphetamines, which we found out to be the case, because they'd been flying for like 4 days in a row, and, well, I'll just take some more of these Prelude in. These will keep me awake. And they'll also make me want to shoot everything that I see. And that's how we gunned down a bunch of Canadians. I remember just seeing like that. Like, especially in Afghanistan, man, it was just like... It was really like King Arthur-style combat over there. So maybe if you see something that looks really high-tech and modern, your first thought might be that it's not the Iraqis at this point.
Well, the next time you go to one of those cash-checking outlets and get some cash, like $4,000... That's not to jump on a TriMet bus with it dangling out of your pocket. Police are looking for the thief who stole more than $4,000 from a man. 22-year-old David Shuler had just got the cash from the Cash Connection store at Southeast 10th Avenue in Hillsboro, not in one of the very best parts of Hillsboro. No place where civilized people would go.
Not where the good people live.
Right. No. Scotty wouldn't be cut dead in a place like that. Anyway, this fellow puts the cash inside an envelope in his pocket, leaves the store. Some guy is watching him, follows him onto a TriMet bus, and yep,
robs him.
Well, that's, I mean, don't you...
Why don't you get a cab?
You had $4,000, you can afford a decent tip for the cab driver. Mug cab for idiot. The, I was just thinking the same thing. Like, seriously, dude, I mean, or at least take a bus. You know what I mean? If you got $4,000 in your pocket, you can afford to ride the TriMet home. It's $1.75. I always assume that whenever I go to an ATM...
And take out $4,000.
Take out $4,000. What do you need to be taking out $4,000 for, first
Somebody
of all?
Somebody sent it to him.
I mean, is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's a little
it's a cash transfer.
I was just going to say, because what could you possibly... Aren't those the same places where it's like a title loan? Where it's like, here's the title of my car, and they give you, and it's like 800% interest or something. Because my neighborhood is just filled with those. My neighborhood is just, every block, there's one of those checks. And where it just says, and usually there's like, dinero, si.
It is, you're like sandwiched between a bunch of them.
Totally, exactly. I've got one,
you go
two.
There after you pawn your VCR for $15.
It is a point of pride with me, by the way. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of those who are less fortunate than I am. But it is because everybody, you got to do what you got to do.
I have done it myself.
I have never gone to one of those payday advance places. I have never, and I'm not, and I don't say that like I'm better than anybody else. I'm just saying
your time is coming.
Why would you say that?
Oh, I'm just.
You're just what, Tim?
No, I'm just speculating on what the future might bring. I mean, not that it's going to happen.
Criswell says you will be paying 40% interest. Criswell sees you dressed as a foam pizza slice on the corner of 39th and Powell, waving like an idiot at cars. We need a Criswell sound effect for whenever Tim sees into the future. No, I was just, I've been at that point in the past, though, where, you know, where you just, and I did, frankly, I mean, maybe it's just my, I think it probably is just like vanity or whatever, because frankly, I just didn't eat. I'm just, well, I can either starve or I can go to the check cashing place. I'll just buckle down and not eat. I'll just eat my feet, you know, I just, whatever it is. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Because what is the deal? You go there, and you just get an advance on your
card. I guess friendly. I'm not sure exactly what happens.
And behind thick-ass glass, too, like 8 inches of glass. And the deal, what is the deal? They just take your car if you don't pay it back at the end of the month? Well, what makes you think that you're going to have the money at the end of the month? You don't have it at the beginning of the month. Well, you're suddenly...
Well, if you're driving a 72 Montego, it's probably paid for. As has been the case of me.
How much can I get...
A mustard-colored Montego.
How much
can I get 6 miles to a gallon. It overheats before I get home.
How much can I get for this Volare?
We laugh about these things now. It wasn't funny a few years ago.
Look at this sweet dart I have. It's avocado green with a black vinyl roof. I need to get my sister out of jail.
No, you need a mustard-colored Montego. That is a definite chick magnet for Southern California.
I just love the idea, though, that at the beginning of the month, you're going to go there and you're going to, the Montego, for example, and they're going to give you cash, and then somehow you're going to realistically assume that by the end of the month, you'll be financially responsible and flush with cash. That doesn't happen unless you start mugging people. That's probably what this guy who mugged somebody on the Max had to do. He had to pay off a check cashing place. So, there you go. All right. God bless him. Well, it's all part of the American experience, isn't it? $4,000. And by the way, I'm just saying my opinion. If you need to have $4,000 wired to you, you're in some kind of trouble anyway.
And in Hillsborough, the worst part.
you're up to your eyebrows in it, friend. If you need to have somebody, does anybody in this room have somebody that could wire them $4,000? I mean, seriously.
I'm not even at the talking stage with people. Like that. Never mind the wiring thing.
I can't even. I think about that sometimes. You know, you hear about this. Well, I've always got the safety net. I have no safety net. I've got nothing. I don't know a single person that would give me $4,000 right now if I asked for it. All right. Well, and let's hope that time. Let's hope I don't need that anytime soon. Here's Tim Riley.
Newly released audio tapes offer a rare glimpse into the private conversations of Governor Schwarzenegger. The audio tapes were made almost a year ago to help Schwarzenegger's new speechwriter get a feel for the governor's stance on important issues, including immigration.
I would find a way, a legal way, so they can earn their visa, so they can work here, and they can stay here, because it's not really realistic to send them back.
The governor took some jabs at Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez.
Fabian?
Mm-hmm. Nunez.
A political operator coming from the union background. You know, there's no much passion about specific things.
Fabian?
Fabian.
Who names their kid Nunez. Fabian at this point? I mean, I realize that that's an
observation. He may have been born during that period of time.
I was going to say, it's an observation for the 50 and up crowd, I think, I guess. But, I mean, whatever. Oh, speaking of Schwarzenegger, we should... I want to thank Jeff McGinley for this, by the way. Let me just play this. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is from the Arnold Schwarzenegger, I swear to God, the Arnold Schwarzenegger total body workout.
The tricep dip is next. Pull a chair or stool up.
Look, I'm not encouraging you to use illegal intoxicants, but, like, if you have any smoke around, you may want to, this might be the time for you to load up on that. Cause...
Up within 3 feet of your exercise bench. Sit on a bench, put your legs up on the chair, and position your body so that it is raised above the bench by the palms of your hands, with your elbows locked.
This becomes hilarious.
Lower your body toward the floor as far as you can and breathe in. Raise your body back up and breathe out. Beginners should aim for 8 dips, intermediate for 12, and advanced for 15. Ready? Go! Down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down.
There's no reason why this is funny.
Down.
It is, though.
Down, up.
Well, he's mastered the English language by this point.
9, up, 10, up, 11, up, 12. 12. 3 more. Up. 2 more. Up. Last why is, one. Up.
Why is the music Burning for You by the Blue Oyster Cult? Is this a known workout song?
Unless it got clearance on it.
Totally. ASCAP was having a sale.
Excellent exercise for the muscles in your upper and lower back.
Let's see what else.
Strengthening your back muscles.
He's ruining this song for me.
Injury and back pain.
I hope they play Do the Hustle.
With your feet at shoulder width.
This is my song with Jenny Kuransky.
Overhand grip. Raise it.
I'm sorry, did I use her name out loud? Anyway.
Let the weight hang below.
When I was a morning DJ, I would play this song for her.
No, this is for Jenny.
You would play it for her?
I played Burning for You by the Blue Oyster Cult for Jenny Kuransky.
God love her.
Wow.
God love her. Yeah, I would play it. This is it. Yeah, and Black Velvet.
I love that song.
I did not play Black Velvet. Although I have an observation to make about that later. Hold on. Black Velvet. All right. I'm not going to make that observation now. Let me just real quickly, just one more, and then we'll get returned to the... This is from the Total Body Workout. This is from 1980.
This exercise is called the barbell curl.
84, I think?
For the biceps. Your biceps may not be as big as mine, but you will be surprised at how quickly they become firm and hard if you do this exercise correctly.
Firm and hard.
The key
Let's
is
hear that line again.
Your elbows hard if you do this exercise, and how quickly they become firm and hard if you do this exercise correctly.
It's raining men in the background.
The key is always to keep your elbows stationary and only use your forearms to do the motion. Choose a shoulder wide grip on the barbell.
Use your forearms for this motion.
In,
through which you will become firm and hard.
Out when the
well, it's raining men place in the background.
We will do 12 repetitions.
It's raining men, by the way, the weather girls, one of whom is Martha Wash.
Start on the down position.
From CNC Music Factory.
Up, down, up, down, up, down.
I'm becoming firm already.
Down, up, down, and keep your elbows at the waist.
Up, yeah, keep your elbows down, at the waist.
Up, down.
Now for your safe word.
Down, 10, down, and give me 2 more. Down.
Oh, I can do more.
Up, down, very good.
Hey.
Now remember, this is one of my favorite exercises. It made me blast my biceps up to 22 inches. The next exercise is for the calves. Put a phone book or a block of wood up.
All right, we're done. All right. I think Paul Schaefer wrote that song.
The phone booth or a block of wood up your what?
I don't know. All I know is that you're keeping your elbows at waist level and pumping your forearms to become firm and hard, according to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Up, down.
This is David. Hello, David.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Hey, I don't know if you we watched Heroes last night. They did one of the greatest geek things ever.
Okay.
George Takei had a guest appearance on it.
Right.
And the car that he was driving in, the limo,
yeah,
the license plate number, NCC-1701.
Right on. That's pretty cool. Excellent. That's I got so much to say about Heroes, and I don't have time to do it now. Maybe next hour we'll talk about Heroes a little bit. But NCC-1701, really? That's genius.
Yeah, it was great. I saw it, and my wife actually said, when I noticed it and told her about it and sort of how cool it was, she goes, like, dear, you're showing your geek.
No, that's one of those things that you have to call another guy to talk about, because there's no way that the woman you're with will appreciate it.
Yeah, it didn't work.
All right. Thank you, sir. There you go. That's David about Heroes. All right. Why are you typing this, Scotty? You must watch The Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt. No, I mustn't. Here's Tim Riley.
Speaking of geeks, casting directors are looking for Portland geeks for a new reality television show.
I just saw that.
It says here, we're looking for likable, average, quirky, or geeky guys, ages 21 to 31, who are a bit socially stunted when it comes to the ladies. Good guys who are intellectual but have no game and need help asking women out. Guys who are shy and awkward when it comes to interacting with beautiful women, or guys who are not shy but always manage to say the wrong things.
So here's the thing is, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and it's not Beauty and the Geek. It's a new show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Beauty
that
and the Geek.
It sounds pretty similar to it.
It's not, well, but it's like Wife Swap and Trading Spouses, which are...
Mm-hmm. And will live in the mansion and be taught everything they need to get the girl.
I bet I know who's doing this show. Let me see.
Casting call 3-8, 635 Northwest 16th Avenue, Portland.
Is that today?
That's Friday.
All right, hold on.
And noon to 4, Saturday.
What is that guy's name? The guy, Neil Strauss from the New York Times, wrote this book, which you really ought to read, Sarah, called The Game.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Magnolia?
I have.
All right. Now, you know, Tom Cruise's character, the respect of the blank and tame the blank, he's based on a real guy. A guy who, and I forget the guy's name, but a guy who does these seminars to help, like, loser guys pick up chicks. And it's like a bunch of weird psychological tricks about how to, like, pick up girls. Neil Strauss from the New York Times spent, like, 6 months with that guy and with the guys who attend his seminars and, like, track them to see if it works and examine the whole, like, here we go, The Game, Penetrating the Secret Society of Pickup Artists. Let's see, what is the name of the guy? It doesn't give it. Anyway, but he went to a seminar put on by this guy who will teach you, like, how to get girls or how to trick girls into giving it up or whatever. And that's who I think Tom Cruise's character is based on in Magnolia, was this guy who did these pickup seminars. And I'm pretty sure that's who's doing this TV series. It's a new show based on a proven scientific method to pick up women by the number one greatest pickup artist in the world, which I think is how this guy markets himself. So that, and then did you see this other casting call? Open casting call for paid extras. Attention, Tim and Sarah.
Oh, boy.
Go. Lakeshore Entertainment's feature film, Untraceable, starring Colin Hanks, Billy Burke, and Diane Lane.
Colin Hanks is hot.
Colin Hanks. Who is Colin Hanks?
Tom Hanks' son. He was in Orange County.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Diane Lane, Billy Burke, Colin Hanks. Saturday, February 10th at the Convention Plaza office building. So for some movie called Untraceable. And this is a paid extra position. So there you go. So I'll give this to you guys, and you can post it or whatever. So I'm going to distinguish myself from the rest of the Rick Emerson cast by not being an extra in a film. But
no. Oh, you're so cool.
No, I'm just saying you guys have kind of got that cornered. You guys have cornered the market on that.
Tim and I got the look.
We're one of thousands or two of thousands.
And our scenes always get cut.
Okay, somebody just sent me the best idea.
I can't wait to see the next movie I'm not in.
You're the Harvey the Rabbit of the film world.
Yes.
I know that last one I had to hold a picket sign for like 5 hours and I don't think it's gonna make it.
When is that movie even coming out?
That's a good question. We'll have to go back online.
Well, it's like you hear about those movies that were in post-production and they had like a 9-year gestation cycle and then they just appear somewhere on the bottom shelf at Blockbuster and they were never even released. Like that Mike Judge film, Idiocracy.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I remember hearing all this build-up for it and all of it. And then it's already out. It's already out. Fox just buried it. Just buried it with everything they can. No marketing at all.
Playing in New Zealand.
No, I mean, I rented it, and I mean, it's one of those movies it wasn't really released. It just sort of escaped. Okay, Scotty, this is a really legitimately great idea this guy has sent me. You have to do this, Scotty. Rick, please not be isolating Arnold saying 9. and looping it over a bed of a crowd, preferably one that sounds like a Hitler rally. That's genius. Okay, you have to do that. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Accused kidnapper Michael Devlin is facing more charges in connection with the kidnapping of Missouri boy Sean Hornbeck and Ben Ownby. St. Louis County prosecutors have charged Devlin with one count of kidnapping and 52 counts of forcible sodomy in connection with the abduction of Hornbeck. Their family attorneys say the additional sodomy charges don't surprise the parents at all.
They're not under any illusions that what went on in that house for 4.5 years was a picnic for their son. But the way that Tam and Craig Akers look at this is that they have Sean back, and any day they have him is better than the day before he was rescued.
Any day he's not on national television talk shows.
Any day that he's...
talking about his torment.
Attention whore parents aren't shoving him in front of hot lights and cameras on the Oprah program.
They'll be baking muffins on Martha next week.
Their names Ham and Egg? What are their names?
No, Hornbeck.
No, his parents' names.
I didn't catch them.
It sounded all the world like Ham and Egg Hornbeck.
They're not under any illusions that what went on in that house for 4.5 years was a picnic for their son. But the way that Tam and Craig Akers look at this, they have Sean back.
Ham and Craig.
They have him as Ham and Craig before he was rescued.
I'm Ham, he's Craig. We're Ham and Craig in the morning. There really ought to be a Ham and Craig. First of all, I want to know how do I put this? How do they determine that it's 52 counts? A forcible sodomy.
They'd probably put a calendar in front of them.
Why not
ask them to X out certain days?
What about Wednesday? No on Wednesday? No, okay, but twice on Thursday? I mean, seriously, why not 51? Why not 53? How do they arrive at the fact that it's 52? That's just weird. That's an oddly... Like, if they had said multiple, or if they had said... Whatever, you pick a round number, it's 50. The fact that they say it's 52 counts of forcible sodomy, that's oddly and disturbingly specific, wouldn't you say?
Well, if found guilty by each count, will have a certain number of days in prison.
Oh, maybe that's why it is. Okay, right. So they picked the number of instances of forcible sodomy because of the sentence, not because...
I mean, this guy's not going to be let loose to rake leaves, as far as we know.
He didn't keep like a Franklin planner around, noting his activities for the day. It wasn't like...
We don't know that.
Morning, you know, car wash, forcible sodomy, lunch... We should break. It's 503-733-2970.
I think we should.
Yeah. Cake or death. 503-733-2970. Sodomy, 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 tea. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson program. We'll return after this. Radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Hey, Rick, about that guy who was on a TriMet or the Max or whatever.
What?
About that guy that got his $4,000 stolen. You might want to mention... Oh. Apparently he was...
No.
It's come to our attention that he was retarded.
Oh.
Well, to be fair, he says... He's retarded, or at least he looked like it on the news last night. Well, then there you go. So the jury's still out. Here's Tim Riley.
Then it doesn't make any sense to send him all that.
Why would you send $4,000 to a retarded person? You're totally right, Tim Riley. Okay, I'm back on the...
I mean, he would have spent it at 31 Flavors.
Well, I like all your ice cream.
I want to try every flavor.
Can I have 100 puppies?
Well, I want a python and a year's worth of mice.
I wouldn't give Scotty $4,000, and Scotty has a home. Seriously, much less some guy who's, you know... You know what I'm talking about? Some a butter knife? I mean, come on. I mean, why would you do that? Let's see. I've got this $4,000. Who should we send it to? The authorities? Perhaps a teacher? A religious leader? How about your retarded cousin Steve? Let's send it to him now.
There are some towns on the outskirts where everybody seems like that, even though they might not be.
No, it's true. Wait, what?
Well, I'm just saying my own observances...
Okay.
Show that there are many people who look and act in that manner. Which you get outside of the metro area in small towns.
Yeah. So you're saying that people in Hillsborough all seem retarded, even if they're not?
Well, some parts of it. Why don't you go downtown? There are some scary people walking around there.
But apparently walking slowly and stumbly.
Well, I had to go down there a couple times to buy stamps. That's how I know.
Okay. Here's Jim Riley.
Well, an elderly Canadian woman whose car was towed with her in it has died of apparent overexposure to sub-freezing cold. Police in Vancouver, British Columbia, not Vancouver, USA, say the 85-year-old victim apparently fell ill while driving, pulled over to the side. So they ticketed the car for being illegally parked and towed it away. Nobody noticed there was a woman inside the car until it got to the impound yard and they scraped the ice off the windshield to get the vehicle ID number.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
So that's Vancouver, B.C.
Well, there you go.
So Canadians aren't that much of a caring people.
They're godless people. They'll kill your grandmother. Canada kills grandmas dead. Did you ever have the discussion when you were a kid about whether you'd rather freeze to death or be burned alive?
Oh, yeah, everyone did.
Yeah, freeze to death. Everybody chooses that. No one ever chooses. Why? That's just, we can end that argument right now. We can settle it. The answer is freeze to death. There you go, kids. Logan, I'm talking to you. No one ever needs to have the discussion again. The answer is freeze to death. All right.
Well, Janine Garofalo is coming to the Crystal Ballroom Friday, March 30th.
That
tickets go on sale February 9th.
Just for the blonde short hair.
Tickets that no one will buy.
Yeah, seriously.
Seems awful grubby to me.
I loved her.
Grubby. Well, you talk about another woman who was hot.
Well, yeah, once upon a time, she was like my idol. I loved that woman.
She became a big, thatchy crotch of a girl, you know what I mean? And when I say crotch, I mean a crank, a
what
grump.
What is she coming to?
She'll be here Friday, March 30th.
No one's going to go. No one. Not
she's doing her numerous comedy awards.
What's that?
She began her career in the 1980s during the pre-grunge era.
Yeah. The pre-grunge era?
That's what it says here. Her appearance is often in line with the late 80s style.
Because
that's the last time she's changed her clothes.
I was just going to... She used to bathe, didn't she?
Before the pre-grunge era, the late 80s, apparently.
This is really cute.
This is so weird because I feel like we're having like...
In her mother's eyes, yeah.
I think... She'll be walking around clutching $4,000, reeking of her own filth. Trying in vain to get Ben Stiller to call her back. This is weird because this is like we're having a weird sequel to yesterday's conversations about Jenny McCarthy and Kennedy, because we were talking about Lisa Kennedy Montgomery, who was the VJ Kennedy, and then we had, or the Virgin Kennedy on KROQ, and then we had that discussion about Jenny McCarthy. See also Janine Garofalo. I got so many thoughts about Janine Garofalo, one of which is get rid of Anne Heche's hair, because that's what you got on your head right now, is you've got crabgrass on your head. That's not hair.
I wish she'd stop and know that the public identifies her as the kooky, like, mid-90s girl who wears the bright red lipstick with the short, blunt, you know, black hair. Like,
and
stick with that.
And
that
doesn't have bones jutting out of her skin, which is how she looks now. And I know that I sound like a broken record with this sometimes, but seriously, have a goddamn sandwich. I mean,
and a bath.
Yeah, a hosing.
And a pressure washing.
Have you been close to her and smelled her?
Well, you can tell. Linda's, look, there's stuff you can tell just by looking at people. You look at Janine Garofalo, you can tell she stinks. She stinks of filth and sin. But you know it's true. You know that she smells like every bad hippie. And you look, let's be honest, when's the last time she took a razor to those legs? I mean, we all know that that's true, which is fine. I'm not saying you got to...
If you're in Italy.
No, I'm just saying there's certain things you can... I'm not even saying it's bad. I mean, whatever. I'm saying there's certain things you can tell by looking at her. You can look at Janine Garofalo and know her legs are unshaven. You can look at Janine Garofalo and know that she has many things made of macrame in her house. You can look at Janine Garofalo and know that her cupboards are full of wheat germ and wheatgrass and soy milk and things that no one really wants to eat. I mean...
I like soy milk, but I don't go to her house to eat it.
But you're clean, though. That's what I'm saying.
I think you pride myself.
You're clean. You're clean
in my hygiene.
You're clean and articulate.
You're like Black Obama.
Yes, exactly. You're clean and articulate, Tim. Just now I almost said it. Just like Barack Obama. And the thing is that Janine Garofalo, it's not that everything has to be about Rick Emerson's standard of hotness, but she used to be cute. I don't know that she was ever beautiful. You know, I don't know if she was hot in the conventional sense of the word. But you go back and you look at, like, Reality Bites era Janine Garofalo. Mm-mm. That's what I'm talking about. She was cute. She was in the same camp as, like, Winona Ryder, sort of. She was kind of like Winona Ryder's kind of dumpier sister. I mean, still cute. Not quite as glamorous. She was sort of Winona Ryder's younger sister that was not quite as sexy, but still attractive. And I will give, and here's the thing that many people don't remember, is that there was this time, and it only lasted for about a week, when Janine Garofalo was really funny. There was this one golden shining moment when Janine Garofalo actually was amusing as a comedian. And that's the problem with her, is that, I say, diagnosing a woman
well,
I've never met.
Only $30.
Ooh, I don't know anything about those.
$30?
Wait, and hit Craigslist like a day before the concert. You're able to get those for a
She's playing at the Crystal Ballroom.
You know, and you know, here's the other thing about Janine Garofalo. I sound like I'm really ranting about this, and I'm not. I've just never had the opportunity to give all my thoughts about Janine Garofalo before. You know this is true. Janine Garofalo, crazy cat lady. You know it's true. You can picture her, maybe not now.
Feral cats.
Maybe. And she probably rolls around on the floor, scratches at them, and speaks to them in their own language.
She does look like a cat, and she has incense at home.
Yeah, totally.
And tea.
Exactly. And not just, and she has
tea. I just sent you a fabulous picture of her I found.
And not just tea. You know she has tea like a lesbian, which is where it's a whole wall of tea. I mean, no one has tea like lesbians have tea. I mean, if you open, to each their own, but I'm saying you go to a lesbian house and you open it, they have like a full closet set aside where you open it and it's just 500 different varieties of stash tea. I don't know why. There's something. Is that like that thing in Jurassic Park where the dinosaurs have to have lysine? Is that something where lesbians have to have tea constantly or they wither away? I don't understand. I will say this about Janine Garofalo. You know what she created? Janine Garofalo was the one. This
the internet.
This is her. This is her one big, indisputable creative achievement. Janine Garofalo was the first comic to make the joke about the In a World guy. That was her. That's her bit. Janine Garofalo, in about 1992, had a bit in one of her TV comedy specials. And boy, that just seems like a billion years ago that you can even imagine tuning in. Let's go home and turn on HBO. I can't wait to watch Janine Garofalo telling her jokes. That's just a bygone era. But in about 1992... because I was still living in Washington, I think, she had a bit where she's like, hey, have you ever noticed, and it's weird that to think that this was an observation no one had made before, she said, have you ever noticed that all of those trailers with that guy start out with, in a world, and like suddenly we all were aware of it. She created that. Beyond that, nothing. Nothing.
I still would kind of like to meet her.
I'd like to meet her too and just ask her what her problem is. I'd like to meet her and just say, come on, get it together.
Do you think she's friendly or do you think she's pretty humorless?
No, I think she's humorless and a husk and mean. I think she might have been nice at one point, but the thing about Janine Garofalo is, I think Janine Garofalo just realized it, because you remember how she was all thin? She got all, like, weirdly skinny at one point after claiming she never would. She's like, I don't need Hollywood standard beauty.
Just like Kate Winslet.
Totally, and they were like, well, we're not going to hire you then. And then the next thing was just like the echoey sound of her lunch coming up in a stall down the hallway. And then she got all skinny. And Janine Garofalo doesn't work well as a skinny girl. She doesn't look good. And then that's when she went crazy, dyed her hair all thatchy blonde, quit bathing, and started wearing like a flowery Mrs. Roper dress everywhere she went. And that's no way to success, young lady.
Well, that's our March promotion anyway.
Oh, wait, are we sponsoring that?
I don't know that we are.
Oh, man.
But after saying all this, you know.
If you'd let me get to the end of that, and if you'd said, like, sponsored by AM 970, Southern State Radio. Oh, hey, speaking of which, I just got a picture of us next to Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. I got the framed picture of that back yet.
Go ahead and
see you bastard, for a minute.
Is it up in your office?
All right, it is up in my office. All right.
Uh-huh.
It's on my desk.
But you know what's coming.
Rick, the guy who was relieved, the guy who had $4,000 stolen on the Max this weekend was a trainable. What's a trainable? A trainable what?
Plushie?
No, I'm almost certain. Well, who knows? I'm almost certain they don't mean plushie.
Trainable, like mentally disabled, but hireable?
Is that like my dog is trainable? Like, well, he can't really do anything, but he is trained. Is that like he just doesn't whiz indoors? Is that what that means? What does a trainable mean? All right, well, whatever. Let's see, what else do we have here? People sending us Jeanine. Oh, is this a Jeanine Garofalo picture from you?
Yes.
All right. Oh, that's no good. Have you posted that?
Oh, God, no.
That doesn't even look like her. I would never have known that is Jeanine Garofalo. Thatchy blonde hair? Check. Weird crazy eyes? Check. Where is she? She's standing in front of a bus. She's standing in front of a honey bucket at a Planned Parenthood rally. Sexy. All right. Well,
that's going to be somebody's promotion.
You know it's going to be Air America, too. Even though they booted her off of that failing, imploding network of theirs, you know that's going to be there, coming to Portland, Air America. It's Susan Reynolds. It's Susan Reynolds just emailed. Hey, does this mean I should be working on getting Jeanine Garofalo for an interview? I'd say it. I'd still interview her.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Because yes. I would ask her, what is your deal? Like, when did you, can you get back to being funny, please? And eat. And so forth.
And dye your hair.
Yeah, I just, because she's not naturally a blonde, is she?
Oh, no, she's like dark, she's brunette.
Alexakis type of blonde.
You know, the, anyway, you know, because you know the thing about Jeanine Garofalo is she had kind of that Daria vibe. I mean, Daria the animated character. She had kind of that vibe going on, and that's what people loved about her. I mean, I know that people could feel like they get trapped in their persona, but I mean, Jeanine got to eat, figuratively. Oh, apparently trainable is an antique term for a mentally disabled or retarded person. Kind of like idiot and moron, he says. That's the emailer who said that, by the way, not me. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Offending Everybody with a Pulse in the Portland metro area today.
Me?
Yes. Well, yes, you.
No. Close to 1 million Easy Bake ovens for kids are being recalled because of a burn hazard and the risk of a child being trapped in the oven. Patty Davis with the Consumer Product Safety Commission says Easy Bake's latest model is dangerous for the kids.
We're recalling about 985,000 Easy Bake ovens. The hazard is that kids can insert their hands into the oven's front opening, and they can get their hands and fingers caught, and there's also a risk of burn.
Why don't you teach your kids not to crawl into an oven, for starters? That ought to be maybe job one, Mom and Dad. Good God almighty. All right, Easy Bake ovens. I didn't think Easy Bake ovens actually cooked things, but we've had this conversation.
Yes, we have.
I thought that it was a gag.
No, I've cooked in an Easy Bake oven back in the days of my childhood.
Yeah, I thought it was a thing where it was like a room temperature baked cookie, like a no-bake cookie, and they just tricked you by having a light bulb. The Easy Bake ovens are strange. I mean,
they work.
I mean, no. I mean, I'm not disputing that they're cool. They are kind of cool. It's just, I don't know, why don't I have this? The problem with how do I put this? I'm really careful. Not the problem. An interesting feature.
The issue.
An issue, yes. An interesting byproduct of marrying someone who is a woman studies major is you do start to have thoughts in your head that never really occurred to you when you were just some idiot pig man living by yourself. Well, you do think of how weird it is that, like, as soon as girls can stand, like, we give them a miniature oven. And then they still won't goddamn cook for you. What's that about? See, I had to pull it out at the end for my...
Yeah, that's funny.
For my bros.
Way to go.
Pull it out for my peeps. Here's Tim Riley.
Melissa Etheridge says switching to biodiesel fuel is very easy and could benefit the country in many ways.
Any diesel engine can run on biodiesel. There are three gas stations here in Los Angeles that have biodiesel. You pull up, it's 100% vegetable oil and no war required.
Well, she doesn't. She does know diesel, doesn't she? Have some tea!
That's a callback.
Oh,
that's what it was put there.
Well, the fact that Melissa Etheridge is on using the word diesel like 15 times in 30 seconds is fantastic. What's she look like these days? First, Melissa Etheridge is interesting because at first, she's one of those people that, I mean, at first they tried to pass her off as being like a hot heterosexual sex symbol. You probably don't remember that era, Sarah. But I was a rock DJ, and I remember having to play Melissa Etheridge records when they were trying to market her. They were trying to pitch her as like a Pat Benatar type, where she was like all about the sex appeal. And how, whatever, I'm not a Melissa Etheridge fan. I don't really care for her music. But, you know, whatever. I mean, she, you know, she's got a certain Joplin-esque kind of thing that she does. But whatever one thinks about Melissa Etheridge's music, she's not a sex symbol. At least not to the demographic they were trying to pitch her. And it was like her with like long blonde hair and like a lot of tight-fitting clothing and sort of striking these sultry poses, and it just seemed so wrong. It was just like a mayonnaise soda. You know what? It was just like two things that did not go together. You could just tell it wasn't working. And then the next time I saw her, shaved head. Shaved head, and then stayed shaved because she had the cancer. But I think she's over that now. And so now she's back to talking. What is she talking about? Diesel fuel?
Diesel fuel.
All right, whatever.
We should all use it.
All I know is that I had to play that... I had to play that Somebody Bring Me Some Water song like 1,000 times
a
week.
Like Come to My Window?
That's a terrible song, too. You want to talk about a song make me want to jam big, sharp,
like
cute. Come to my window. She's just such a rasp. She has no middle gear. That's the thing about her. Do you like that song?
Of course.
Stephanie Miller plays it. Here's a good
Haven't heard it in a while, but yeah, I've never had a problem with it.
Here's a good Melissa Etheridge song. And again, she's, you know, whatever. I mean, God love her. You know, it's hard to be a musician. I wish her all the best. I'm just saying she makes music that grates on me a little bit.
For a while, it was the theme to Party of Five.
I will say this.
Was it?
Yep. Come to My Window?
Uh-huh.
Party of Five with Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Mm-hmm.
You're making that up.
No, it was. For like two or three episodes.
I don't remember that at all.
Yep.
I will say this about Melissa Etheridge. She did have one indisputably great song, which was like The Way I Do. The Way I Do was a great song. Beyond that, I don't really care. All right. What time is it? Well, we should do a few more. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Let's do a clergy watch.
Oh, fantastic. Here's your clergy watch for whatever the hell day this is. Tuesday. Rick Emerson Show.
I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody.
You got a body like you.
Cause I gotta have space.
Dateline Denver. One of four ministers who oversaw 3 weeks of intensive counseling for the Reverend Ted Haggard said the disgraced minister emerged convinced he is completely heterosexual. He also said his sexual contact with men was limited to the former prostitute who came forward with sexual allegations. He's completely heterosexual, said Ralph. Oh, he's a reverend. The Reverend Ralph. That is something he discovered. He was acting out situations that took place. He resigned as president of the National Association of Evangelicals last year after allegations of sexual misconduct.
It doesn't really carry a lot of weight with me that apparently his contact with men was limited to this one guy, because that was every week, like three times a week, for about 3 years. Yeah. So it doesn't really seem like...
Well, that was the only spare time he had.
I was just saying, between being married, having a full-time job, running a church, and then also having a lot of gay sex while hopped up on methamphetamine, it doesn't really seem like you'd have time to meet other men. And it does seem like your circle of contact would be necessarily finite. I mean, I'd almost be impressed if he was able to work other men into his schedule. I mean, I thought that was one of the upsides of doing methamphetamine. You know, you were able to get things accomplished that you might not otherwise be able to fit into your busy life. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Haggard said in an email Sunday his first communication in 3 months to church members that he and his wife Gail plan to pursue master's degrees in psychology.
I wonder if Gail and...
What?
That's exactly... That makes me feel comfortable. That's a guy I want treating somebody. That's a guy who should be a psychologist.
Not straight! Well, they're still considering whether they should move to A, Missouri, or B, Iowa.
This is going to end so badly for that guy. This is going to... And you see this all the time, I guess, in a lot of states, but in Salt Lake City, in Utah, you would see this constantly. Because in Utah, I don't know, they have these hideous nurse ratchet places off in the country where they'll send, like, your brother if he has unnatural attractions, you know, whatever. Who is this? Well, it's our son. Well, what's his problem? Well, he comes home and he wears ballet shoes. Well, we'll fix his wagon, and they send him off to some place in the country where they jam electrodes into his nose. And then they keep him there for a month, and then Johnny comes home, and Johnny's all man and can't wait to go on his mission. And they will actually have, at schools, these couples who will go around And you'll see these on the cover, like on the like Newsweek and Time will do this occasionally. Where it'll be like, "How we overcame our homosexuality," and it's like the husband and the wife and the kid, and you look at the husband and the wife and the tough looking lady,
totally,
and the ballet dancing husband.
Exactly,
that's exactly what I was gonna say. And he always looks like a really young Darren from Bewitched, and she always looks like Large Marge from Pee Wee's Big Adventure. And it's a whole lot of my name is Sandra, and together with my husband, Bob, we are the looking people you've ever seen in your life. Or this is the other version on that, where she's like really thin and like jerky looking. Like she looks like she's made of jerky. Like she's all veins and muscle and bone. And then he'll be like sort of fat with really great skin and jolly, kind of like what's his name from Beetlejuice, that guy who comes to bless the house, that guy from Heathers that is always going, "The answer is not in the MTV video games, as we've been."
I love that guy.
Our little Eskimo, that guy. They always look like him. And they're posing there with their hideous kids. And the kids are there. The kids are miserable. The kids are going to have the worst life on earth. So, yeah, there you go. 3 weeks. That's pretty impressive, actually.
It's the crash course.
Three weeks.
3 weeks of heterosexuality.
You know, the great thing about this is, and it's not so great for Ted Haggard, but that means that there's some, he doesn't even know it yet, but somewhere out there is some lucky young gay youth who's walking around who's going to have a fantastic 6 months of his life. He's going to have a great 6 months of methamphetamine-fueled gay sex romps when Ted Haggard falls off the sex wagon in about 5 years. So that'll be fun for somebody down the line. All right, there you go. There's your clergy watch.
Cause I gotta have faith.
You know, Aaron is really stretching it now. My lesbian friend's Volvo runs on diesel. She fills it with vegetable oil.
Should we break?
I would dial the numbers to listen to your breath. And I would stand inside my house and hold the hand of death. And you don't know how far I'd go.
What the hell is that? Is that Julia Lewis?
You've never seen this video?
No. Oh, is this where she's in the loony bin?
Uh-huh.
All I remember is it just sounded like her in Cape Fear, where she's talking to Robert De Niro, who's hanging upside down. I'm the do-rap man.
I would dial the numbers just to listen.
I guess I don't hate this song as much as I thought I did. Except now I feel like we ought to be coming back and, like interviewing somebody who's running for the Green Party.
Are you having a telephone?
No, I ought to be coming back. Stephanie Miller. She plays Melissa Etheridge all the time. That's like somebody else needs a 3-week crash course. I'm going to be taking some time off. We'll be back after this at the Rick Emerson Show.